You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. I don't know what just happened. You know, there are always forces out there trying to do something negative. See what's going on here. All right. Hell is going on. I don't know what's going on out there. I must have some strong energy. But as soon as we came on, something shut off. So, hey, all my kindreds out there, excuse us for our brief interlude, but this is a stream. And I swear, sometimes I crave for the old school because some of this stuff, it's not always perfect and it'll cut off and things like that. I hate things like that. It's just, you know, as sophisticated as we are as a technology, I would think that there wouldn't be any issues for streaming anything that only requires a screen and a current to run through. So I don't know what that's all about. But hey, my kindreds, what's going on out there? It's not enough to hold us back. That's for sure, for sure. Before I get started, how's everybody doing out there? Is everyone doing their thing? It's the end of the year. Karma's coming out all over the place. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. And, you know, some people are ending the year in a wonderful way. They made a lot of good causes, did a lot of good deeds, stuck in there, hung in there when they knew or people were mistreating them, lots of misfortune, and then turned it all around. And here we are smiling, big smiles and happy. Anyway, shout out to the Africa Channel. You know, I support them. I love them. TheAfricaChannel.com if you want to find out more about them. And before I do anything else, I want to announce the sponsor. Hey, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker. He is a senior real estate and probate specialist. It is, his number is 818-571-1508. Again, he's a senior real estate probate specialist for Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. And now back to the show. So as you all know, it's sad that we still have to condone to those people in low vibrational frequency, those people who do not understand how to pray, those people that are still in those low life conditions, hell, hunger, anger, animality, the three lower worlds. I don't know what you guys out there call them, but in our perspective, my perspective, they are considered low states of life. And we are taught, from a Buddhistic perspective, we are taught that although some people exude very, very dark behavior, very, very dark shadows, some people exude those things, and they still have the Buddha nature. Within that negative, within all of that negativity, dark energy, dark forces, folks doing wrong and everything, we are trained that we still can see the Buddha nature. It doesn't mean that we have to expose ourselves to dark things or have to condone ignorant or low behavior or negative behavior, but it does help us show a great degree of compassion, maybe not be so angry, or, you know, can understand from somebody's perspective they're ignorant or they are not evolved. People that do things like that couldn't be evolved. I mean, you have to pay attention to behavior, not just what people are saying. So I was thinking about that young man or whoever that is that has ruined their whole life because they had an ego moment. They just had to get off. They just had to get it off. They couldn't handle that people might be happy and might be doing some celebration, whether they viewed it as negative or positive. They couldn't handle being able to open up their minds and be flexible enough to allow time and purpose for other people in other ways of living, and that we are on a globe with a lot of different people, with a lot of different beliefs, and a lot of different things happen in our small worlds. That's why I tell you, please do some traveling or meet people from other cultures or do something, study. Because it's sad when, you know, we are confined to our own small communities, our own small circle of friends and family, and have never experienced a person from another culture or eaten foods from another countries or done anything like that. So whatever those negative forces that always try to trip me up, you messing with the wrong person. Because you're not going against me. I represent the law. That's who I, what I stand for. It's not a person. It's not a place. It's not a thing. It's something beyond your perception. So I would suggest you study a bit about the law of cause and effect. I'm going to read a little bit for you today because I can't possibly, I'm not a Buddhist scholar. I'm a person that practices Buddhism. And I understand Buddhism based on the years, 45 years of practice I've had, not on the books I've read books, and we read things all the time, but it's nothing like practicing something. It's like somebody saying, I want to be a guitar player, but they've never picked up a guitar. Or I want to know more about people of color, but they don't go and do anything that involves anything outside of their own communities. Or I want to know about cooking, but they've never bothered to buy a recipe book and actually do a recipe. And there are those that think that they don't have to do the work, but the life is not like mankind. The law of cause and effect, this is not mankind. Mankind, our species, we're limited. We got to die, number one. Number two, we get sick. Number two, number three, we get old and we suffer. Those are the four main things of being human. We are born. My mother used to say, the moment we're born to die. You're headed towards the grave. The moment you get out of the womb and starts going back into that, you know, that cycle of life that we all have to reconnect with at some point in time. So I'm always saddened by the fact that we have people that are so steeped in ignorance and steeped in low energy in a low state of life, that they would really go out and kill other people. Now, there is another side of that. Cause and effect works on both sides. I don't know who those people were that got shot. I don't know why they got shot, why they happened to be there at that particular time, you know, but my family lives over there. And I was chanting at the time I heard the news. And I just chanted for, first of all, to stay calm. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm not there. And to wait until all the facts came in, to keep my spirit calm, keep my thoughts high. And, you know, send out energy to help protect them at a time that there was need for protection. So, again, I don't know anything, whether on the givings, the one did it or the one receiving. I don't know that it's too deep for my perception. I don't know why some people happen to get killed in a situation. I know what I'm taught. But when we if we get into the heaviness of having karma, then people question, well, why do kids die? And why does this happen? Well, I don't know. All I know is there is a law in place, and the law is exact. It's exact. It's not governed by our species. There's no one that has, oh, yeah, I think I'll judge our Osiris today because I just don't like her. You know, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to judge Trump or Biden or anyone else that may go against what we believe in, and because I don't like them, their policies or whatever. I don't know. I don't know why he's in office. He is in office and things are happening. I don't know why they're happening. I just know that I'm trying to stay alert, awake, and conscious enough to be a better person so that I can contribute to something positive happening versus something negative happening. And my job is to keep a calm mind, as is yours. Stay calm in your mind. I can't do nothing about what that man is up there doing, and neither can you. All we can do is vote. If you don't like him, vote him out. You know, if we don't like things, help to change them. Sitting around negating and being negative and talking bad about things and making yourself sick, you know, with a hatred and hate-filled thoughts, is not going to do anyone any good. It doesn't do anything. I've lived long enough to see people, all they did was complain their whole lives. Ever since I've known, all they did was complain. Nothing was ever good enough. Nothing was ever right. Nothing was ever, everything was bad. You know, they got into a relationship. The relationship's horrible. I got into the now it's bad. I got a new car. Everything is negative. And you wonder why, when the hoop comes back around, you know, that little horse hoop you throw out there and it goes think, 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 and comes back around. That's cause, you know. So I don't know why all these things, but I tend to work on keeping a positive and uplifted mind. And that comes from practicing something every day, you know, not just saying, oh, yeah, I believe in a God or a Jesus or whatever your polygam or the Quran or whatever our religious beliefs happen to be. Do we practice those things? And as we practice them, are they delivering? Because I call my stuff up in the front. If you don't deliver, I'm not believing in it. You better deliver. If I say I need my spirit to be calm and I need this to happen, I don't mean just for that day. I mean for the rest of my life and onto whatever further existence I may have out there in the coup somewhere. So it's something that should linger and be a part of you, not something you just call on or when you're scared. Oh, I'm scared, so I better call on to God today and make sure, you know, I said my Hail Marys and that I did all of these things without changing at all. Inside of your mind, you know how you think. Come on now. Come on now. We know how we are thinking every day, even though we're holding it in secret, we think. Like a mother said, you can't hold nothing in secret, because even when people don't know what's going on, the guardian angels do. She used to say there was a recording angel on each side. And every time we do something, think something, say something, they write down whatever we do. And then you have to be accountable for you when you get to the end of your life. Okay, now, Miss Osiris, let's see what you did. Remember that time you yelled at the dog because you were really upset about something else and you were warned internally. Something said, don't yell at the dog. It's not the dog's fault. Or don't be mean or snappy at your friend. It's not their fault because this happened, that happened. It's not their fault. So it's on you, and that's your negative cause you're making out there, yelling and doing things to people. And you know doggone well those people have nothing to do with the situation you are in or situations that we find ourselves in. So, you know, we don't have a guest today. We'll have a guest back next week. It's the end of the year. I love it when people go on vacation, and I love it that I get to talk to y'all every once in a while off record, you know. But, you know, it is the end of the year again. The end of the year is fabulous for bringing us into reality. You know, all the cover up of all the gifts and buying for people that you may or may not like, you know, all of that is revealed at the end of the year. It's for some, the darkest part of the year. For others, it's happy. You remember that movie, the Ghost of Three Ghosts of Christmas or whatever it was? And the guy was so mean in his heart. Things like that happen for real. Cause and effect is real. I'm not talking about what goes around comes around and you reap what you sow. I'm talking about something that's so deep and so ingrained in life itself that it prevails not only in this life, but beyond all time. Through the elements, through things we can't even see, through the visible and the non-visible. And, you know, I'm always telling people that want to, whatever, I don't know who's up against me. I really don't care because that's your ill will and that's your negative stuff you're doing. I feel bad for you. But for those people that may wake up and find themselves in ill thinking or ill wills, you know, and try to change, I will say that once we are honest with ourselves and we see the worst parts of ourselves, I've been able to sit with myself and see the demons in my own life and had to call them out and call them to the surface. My children have helped me a great deal see different parts of my personality that I might not have seen without them. They were a mirror for me. Or other people that have been my friends at certain times have helped me see certain things, even if it were to see that you're just too nice, or you are way too open, or, you know, you trust without regard, you know, make someone prove themselves to you. And recently I've had a few more, you know, lessons that are like little bitty reminders. They weren't even like, yay. I feel like I graduated. Like, I graduated. I'm a big girl. I graduated. I graduated and my life started showing me that I graduated. I'll let you guys know as, you know, things have progressed, but I just, you know, I'm just keeping things under wrap. I like to keep things under wrap. They are best served when they happen, you know. But at any rate, I thank the people that have helped me grow, the people that broke my heart. Thank you. Thank you. Jeez. I feel so beautiful now because you broke my heart. And I had to fix it and repair myself and had to look at some very hard realities about myself. You or people can think you're stupid because you're kind. I remember, you know, buying things from people I don't even know just because I wanted to out of the goodness of my heart. Like, oh, they're babies who can do, you know, I don't know what they have or what they may not have, but I just wanted to do it. Those are my kind deeds. And when I get benefits and good fortune, they are just as big as those deeds that come out of my heart because they blow my mind. I'm like, wow, where did that come from? I was just being myself. I didn't think anything about helping the woman crossing the street with the baby carriage because none of the other cars would stop for her. Or, you know, none of the other the cars wouldn't stop for her. I didn't think about, you know, anything returning to me because I bought somebody a burger when I didn't even have money to buy a burger for myself. But they just seemed they needed to eat. You know, I didn't think about those things that I do behind the scenes and that a lot of us do behind the scenes because we don't go around bragging and telling people what we do. We just are who we are and we do those things, whether people see them or not. Our lives show what we do because our lives get big, big benefits and big, big, lots of fortune. comes into our lives and the lives of those people who take time to give just a little bit of their heart, if not all. See, I was giving my whole heart to things, and whoo, that was the wrong thing to do. We got crushed out there. And since then, but thank goodness for my invisible forces besides me. Most of my mentors are on the other side. Most of the protection I have, they've crossed over, as they do for some of us that are old souls, you know. So, excuse me, lots of energies always trying to shut us down. You can't shut people down that know who they are. So I feel bad for those people that want to waste their earthly time doing that and basically suffer. I feel, you know, I really do. I've been told I shouldn't, but because I do have that kind of compassionate heart, I feel bad that you can't wake up and smell the coffee, so to speak. That you really are trying very hard to live a life that's untrue. It's just isn't, it's not even common sense. But, you know, do keep doing that, if that makes you feel better. Keep doing it. I give you my welcome to go ahead. Test the law of cause and effect. You'll figure it out. Like my mother said, you know, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Just keep living. You'll get it. You'll figure it out. But let me read the law of cause and effect. It's a Buddhist lecture that I came upon not recently. I've been a Buddhist now for 45 years. I thought I'd never stick to something long enough to see it bring me out of hell. And I say hell, I mean in every sense of the word, somebody that was suicidal, somebody that hated because they were black, somebody that hated their lips, their eyes, their hair, everything. Somebody that grew up in environments that hatred belief. You're born black, poor, and ugly, and you're gonna die black, poor, and ugly, and you a heifer, and you a wench, and people that say things like that have no idea the kind of vibration and frequency those words, those phrases, those thoughts, those actions carry. And a lot of them, depending on what the intention was behind them, they carry a lot of weight, a lot of weight. Some things are unreprievable. You might have to go to one of those blue or red hells of suffering that we talk about in my particular belief, into one of those realms of suffering that I can't imagine what it might be like standing on a corner like this, because you're so drugged up. And look how resilient the human body is, that the human body can go through all of those things and still be not just completely like kill over. The heart's not working right. The liver, the spleen, the adrenals, you know. My dad was a nurse. I know all those things. You know, those things inside in the human body. The brain is still ticking away. Look how brilliant this human mind, with the right information, with the right promise, with the right sense of purpose, with the right condition, good health, good thinking, good actions. Doesn't mean it's perfect, but it means that it works and resolves itself to be so. Just think of what somebody like that kind of mind can do and how far they can go. Regardless of age, regardless of culture, regardless of what has happened to them. You know, if you want to see what happened to me, go read my book, Nita. It's out there somewhere. Read it. You'd never believe that I went and came through all of those things by simply being determined that I would become the best version of myself that I can be. You know, I left Christianity when I was like, what, 18, 17? You know, my dad was an atheist. My mom was very beautiful Christian, very heavily, but poor thing. All she did was suffer her whole life. She was sick all the time. She was negative. She always, my mom and dad, I love my mom. And she couldn't let go of the past to save her life, and was a devout Christian. And I mean, had prayer meetings, my grandmother, I grew up in the South. So I was very familiar with prayer meetings and things that are defined to make the soul, you know, prayer meetings on Friday night, every Wednesday, all of those things. That's what I went through. And I just didn't see anywhere in my life to have such a strong belief and be so snowed over by what I was being fed. The behavior of the people in my environment didn't match what they said it was supposed to be like. Now, again, if you were any kind of spiritual practitioner, you're going to go through some tests. Oh, the tests will be many. Oh, there'll be many. But in going through those, you should also be getting reprieve. You should not be so heavy all the time that there's no reprieve and you keep asking for help. No help ever shows up. Then there's something wrong with your belief system. You should maybe think about doing something else that may deliver, may be based on actual proof. Mine is based on actual proof. So whatever we chant about, we are going to get. And we're going to be a better person to receive those things. Like people asking for a bunch of money and they're greedy, heartless people. But they want a bunch of money. Why would greedy, heartless people think that they're going to get a bunch of money that's going to last them any day past whatever the time, if that, and they're greedy and heartless? Yep. I mean, I'm pretty smart. I mean, come on. Does that make sense to you? And then they wonder why, oh, wow, I have no money. Because aren't you the same person that wished poverty onto other people, wished them bad luck, bad harm, lied, cheated, stole behind their back, brought up your friends and family against these people? Aren't you that same person that's now asking for reprieve from life? Oh, you want all of us to help you now because you were the victim. Oh, everybody was doing something to you. Never thought that it might be you that needed to change with a heartless and greedy heart. A heartless and greedy, dark heart. Bless your heart. I bet you never wish you ever, ever brought up one negative thing against somebody good and kind and showed you nothing but love. Those of you out there that you know who I'm talking about. Some of you out there know these people. Some of you out there are these people. Some of you have experienced these people. Some of you, unfortunately, came from being those people. But I will tell you with all my heart and soul, if you ever run against people of the light, I mean, people that are living, breathing, not even angelic beings, you know, because angels can fall from grace. I'm talking about people that know the law of cause and effect, their behavior. Nobody has to tell them to do wrong or do right. Nobody has to tell them what they know. They know without a doubt that if I think like this, that's going to happen. If I act like this, that's going to happen. If I do this, that's going to happen. We know better. We're old souls. We know better. We've done all of that. I tried it in this life, tried to do negative things. And you know what happened? Even when I was in the military, and as much negative happened to me in the military, finding my way back to the light, you know, finding my way back to the, you know, to the Buddhist life condition, that higher life condition of finding my way back to the law and being in harmony and finding my way back to the rhythm of the law, being in sync with the law, you know. I tried it. None of those things worked for me. When I tried to drink, I got physically ill. I never tried to drink again. When I tried to smoke cigarettes, oh my gosh, my throat was all screwed up. When I tried to do things that other people were doing, they know. I got instant and immediate repercussion. Instant. Don't do that. And the voice in my side of me kept getting stronger and stronger as I went through my various spiritual revelations and my individual revolutions, and my consciousness got bigger, and my third eye, this pineal gland, did this, and I became more aware, and my eyes started opening. You know, we have a gosha called the opening of the eyes, you know, where your inner eyes open. Not your outer eyes, your inner eyes. They open. Start seeing people for who they really are versus who you wish them to be. Oh, but they're such a nice person. No, they're not. Nice people don't do that. Oh, but they're so kind. No, they're not. Kind people are kind all the time. They're not kind because they're trying to get something out of you. They're kind because that's who they are. Oh, but they're so handsome and they're so beautiful. Mm-mm. It's a gloss. They only look like that because that's your projection of them. You're making them handsome and beautiful because that's how you see them. It's this beautiful energy and they're like dark, you know. And when I was younger, it took me a long time, longer time to see through. But my intuition was so strong. And then my ancestors and the people, my mentors and people on the other side that have guided me up to here. And my Buddhist Shoten Zenjin have protected me. And now it's quick. Now the mask falls really quick. They can't be around me 2 minutes without trigger. Like, look, I'm too bright. You can't come around me and expect to be the same person and live the same kind of energy. You can't do it. So my vibe is too high. I suggest you go around something or be around people that are, you know, may not call you out to grow so much or may not require that you change. Because I'm changing all the time. I love to change. I look forward to changing. I look forward to, you know, tests now rather than running from them. I'm like, okay, what's next? You know, what are you going to try to do to me now? You know, what kind of tests you want me to go through now? But I've lived long enough that I've been through a lot of them and gained a lot of wisdom. And I love that when we get to the point that we become wise enough and gallant enough and high enough in our life condition that we can begin to influence other people and we can share with them what worked. I'm not saying necessarily what they should do, but, you know, if I see that I said this once before and somebody said they didn't think it was a good example, but I'll use it again. There are really a lot of ways to get to downtown LA. There's the known path. Everybody knows if you take the 101 South, it's going to take you to downtown LA. There are the side streets that other people know about. Yeah, there are some side streets that may get you to downtown LA. And then there are those streets that are intuitive. The ones that aren't mapped out. They aren't written down. You won't learn them in school because they're in here. I remember seeing this movie called The Buddhist Monk. It's about this monk. It's a televised Hollywood version of Buddhism, but it's fun to watch because it does make a point about cause and effect. So this monk, his job is to find someone to take his place. Until he does, he looks young and vibrant and like he's never aged, never been anything. So they take you back to the beginning of time when he's at this Shaolin, whatever, temple, some area of ancient, wherever they are. And this guy that's mean and vile comes in. He's with some army guy or some Russian thing, and they find this temple on the top of this hill, minding their own business. These people are in peace and harmony. Nobody's shooting, killing, arguing every day. They're enjoying themselves in bliss. Here they come. They're mad. What are you doing up here? And what do you have in here that we can steal? So they go and they literally kill everyone. Monks are peaceful. They're not going to try to fight you, and they don't have guns and things like that. You know, they have weapons of protection, but their life is a peaceful state of life. So they're not, you know, killed up a lot of them. One monk who was very trained and the others that were trained and skilled in developed intuition knew and felt and knew everything to do. What they had been passed on but to them from someone in the temple passed on to them about how to survive these kind of attacks, et cetera, et cetera. So he goes through his whole life looking for this person to replace him. So he finds this defiled kid. The kid is a thief. He lies. He cheats, you know. But at the same time, heart of gold, good person, doing those things but good inside, like maybe lying because, you know, he feels like he needs to protect himself. I'm not saying that it's okay to lie, but the lies, the intention of the lying was different than somebody just lying. They know they're lying. They're going to lie anyway. Somebody that's stealing, they know they're a thief, but they're going to be a thief anyway. You know, those kind of things. He knew he wanted to change. He didn't know how. He meets this Buddhist monk. He finds out all these people out this room. Who's after you? Why after you? And this guy shows up in his home without getting through the door. He goes, how did you get here? In the moral of the story, at the end of the story, the monk becomes his age, decides to go on vacation, transfers the law that's inscripted on his very body. They show the inscription, in my mind, I made it the sutra, of engraving the teachings of the law inside of that human being and making that person a living human breathing Buddha. Now, I'm also coming from the situation when I was like 18, 19, I got into tarot cards and metaphysics and the whole thing. I mean, I could read. I mean, people traveled to see me, paid me good money and things like that. And I had a horrible marriage, a horrible relationship, children. I mean, completely wasn't in a balanced state of life, but had all these so-called special gifts. And as I left metaphysics and got deeper into Buddhism, I found out that a lot of those things deal with entities and energies from the astral world. And I'm not negating those things, but I'm just saying they're not as pure as we would like for them to be. Especially when our own lives don't mirror what we're expressing in sessions and in readings. And mine didn't. I had this big bright smile on my face and I was just as unhappy. I was getting beat up. All kind of stuff was happening to me. It had been a running pattern that I triggered people that want to fight me and beat me and control me. I don't know what that is, but I finally grew out of it. And when I found out about the Buddha, a person that is a Buddha is a person that, or an entity that is fully awakened. Listen to what I'm saying, fully awakened. It's fully awakened, like the sun that shines without regard. I'm shining. I don't need whether you know I'm shining, I'm shining, I'm the sun, you know? So I found that those eyes that are open in those astral realms and things like that they're only the eyes of the person. And according to the perception and the intelligence and the level of development of the person seen through those eyes. So as that person, like the person, Dr. Kimball and Dr. Hunter and all those people that I've learned from out of Yale and Harvard and all these places that they went against the convention because they felt like it was defiled. The society didn't reflect, you know, what they believed in because society really is rotten. You know, those people, as we grow and develop, we're going to change. So a lot of the perception changed. A lot of what I read about when I was 25, when I got 35, wasn't the same energy, same information. When I got 55, different person. When I got whatever, over 60, different energy. We should always be constantly evolving. If we're really doing the work and growing, we shouldn't be stuck anywhere. We should always be growing. Something should always be a challenge. Something should always be pulling us outside of our comfort zone. And that's what I found in Buddhism. I'm never comfortable. I'm always challenged to grow. I'm always challenged to do more, pull more out of myself, be more, and show it with my life. Not just running my mouth, with my life. Look, there it is. Want to see what I did? There it is right there. See? See the talk show? See the this? See the that? You'll see? See that? That's what I've done. Not just talk about it and be envious because other people are doing the work to get it, to get those things. And I'm not talking about just material fortune. I'm talking about every level. You're comfortable in your skin. You feel beautiful when you wake up every day. You're dancing and singing and got mucho problems and just is happy. And you wake up one day and those problems seem like they never happened once the dew is gone. So let me give a shout out to our sponsor once again, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. He will take care of all your real estate needs. Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker. So don't forget to call him. The ad usually shows, I think it's some kind of technicality thing. I don't know what's happening today. But anyway, no matter, you got his name, you got his number, and you've seen the show enough to know. And if you want to see the show, you can always go online and look at an old one. You don't have that ad up there. Before I go again, what is it we got? Yeah, we got a little bit of time. I'm going to read to you, for the fifth time I said, the law of cause and effect. Laws means rules to protect individuals and support the constitutional rights of everyone in society and or the nation. The Western idea of natural laws are based on scientific evidence such as the law of gravity or mathematical laws. Whereas scholars may have many discoveries about the consistency of these laws at this time, they are still researching why certain laws exist and exactly how and why do they work. Law in Buddhism, however, has a broader meaning. It is the English equivalent for the Sanskrit word dharma, which means the teachings of the Buddha. Dharma is the truth of all underlying phenomena. The Buddha neither created nor laid down these laws, but clarified the law originally governing the universe. There exist many truths extending from the specific or phenomenal to the universal and essential. At the deepest level of life, the fundamental truth which supports all universal phenomena and laws is the mystic law of Nam-myoho-renge-kyo. Now, let me talk a little bit about the law of cause and effect as Shakyamuni stated. This is what the priest is saying, or the lecture. If you want to understand the causes that existed in the past, look at the results as they are manifested in the present. And if you want to understand what results will be manifested in the future, look at the causes that exist in the present. I would like to explain this simply. For example, if a student studies hard for an examination, he may pass it with high scores. Therefore, diligent work is the cause. And passing is the effect. At the same time, there's always some medium which connects the cause to the effect. In this case, the medium is the act of taking the examination. A medium functions in two ways. It produces an effect and contributes to forming a new cause. The same amount of effort, however, does not necessarily lead to the same results. Some students naturally have good memories, while others tend to forget things quickly. The point is the question, what produces such differences between individuals? Buddhism attributes these differences from the causes one has made in previous life existences. Now that makes sense to you? Come on, think, it's your brain. In other words, one's individual and natural abilities are the effects of the causes established in previous lifetimes. Western religions usually suggest that God predetermines the course of one's life and is a judgmental God. Buddhism, however, asserts that each individual is responsible for one's own destiny. Buddhism also teaches that each one of us has the right to change one's life for the better and develop one's character in the future. This means that a person with a weak memory does not have to resign himself to his fate. If he realizes his weak point, he may start preparations for a test earlier than others so that he can memorize or she can memorize the study materials effectively, or they or them or whatever you're identifying as. Thus, he will be able to overcome his disadvantage instead of depending on his weak memory. He can make up for it by improving his understanding, by being aware of his own strengths, weakness, and inclinations. This is what I love. I get to change myself. I get to polish up my own self once I know what I need to do. It is possible to develop his strong points and improve the weak ones. Buddhism proposes that absolutely one's future can change through one's present efforts. But what can be done about the causes we have already formed in the past? You know, all the lies y'all told when you was a teenager and lied to your mom and your daddy and ditch school, all the stuff that we've done that we think that nothing is going to come of it. And then until we wake up one day, we can't get a job or something. Well, I wonder what happened to me. And never thought about maybe it's something we've done. It's because we don't know better. Don't mean it's not a cause and it doesn't produce an effect. Our personality, character, and destiny are all results of what we were and what we did in the past. In the sutra, Shakyamuni Buddha directed us to a source of power, which can sever the change of karmic forces. The great potential inherent in our lives far exceeds what we presently can imagine. We naturally possess a tremendous life force and abundant wisdom. You want to know why I've got so strong energy? That's why. Because I do this every day. We're often unaware of our own wonderful power and put limitations on ourselves by our own thinking. There's no way I can do that, or this is my fate. And we frequently don't realize we can challenge and develop new potentials. In a small way, people are very much like an elephant in a circus. A circus elephant is extremely strong, but it remains tied by a flimsy chain to a small stake. Ain't that deep? Ain't that deep? Think about that. As it believes that it cannot get away. In the same way, a person possesses tremendous potential, but has the bad habit of convincing oneself that his, her, they, them, whatever you identify with, is limited and therefore does not actively challenge himself. We've run out of time. We started a little late, but I just wanted to end right there. So think about what I've said and go back and listen to this. And maybe you'll understand a little bit more about the profundity of life and living. And that it goes beyond the building you go to on Sundays. It goes beyond the place you hold. That it sits within one's own life. What if you're sick, poor, and can't get to a building to worship in? What do you do then? You can chant anywhere, you know. What if you can't? You don't have the wisdom to understand what somebody might tell you to do, but you can develop and go inside of yourself and see that you might have the wisdom all on your own. You know, whatever. What I've discovered is that whenever I do what I do, it touches a part in my mind that then determines my action. So that when I make a decision, I don't really need to think about it. The decision is made because I've already done the causes to make the decision to produce the kind of effect I need. If that makes sense at all to any of you out there. But just understand, there are profundities and laws in life that have nothing to do with men species. It is beyond our perception. Think about that. Beyond our perception of why people keep repeating patterns over and over again, no matter what they've been told, how many readings they've had, blah, 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 blah. They don't know. They don't understand. It's 3 years later, the same thing's going on. I've never been able to change it, blah, blah, blah. Think about what I've said. Okay, shout out to Sam Hassan, LA Talk Radio, for letting me come in and do my thing and helping me get it together when we have these little glitches from the energy sources. Thanks to all of you. I loke you. I love you for who you are and stand strong. Don't let people push you down. Nothing nobody can do to you but yourself. You're the only enemy you have. Everybody else, if they're trying to be an enemy, they're making an enemy to themselves. They're trying to send you negative stuff. They're doing it to themselves. Just understand that. Cause and effect is that. It has nowhere to go. It goes back to where it came from. Understand that. Shout out to love you also, because I love you for being who you are and for standing strong and continue to show up every week and to support me on this show. Also, without your liking, sharing, and subscribing to our YouTube channel and LA Talk Radio, I can't do it. I need you. I don't need you, Like, I'm sure life would go on without you, but while I'm on this platform, I do need your support and I welcome it. And, you know, and just remember that. And also, don't forget to smile. It works wonders. And to the families, friends, and loved ones out there that have been misused, abused, things have happened to you, and people have not shown compassion. I understand that the law of cause and effect is strict. You don't have to worry. Everybody will get exactly what they put out. It will. Don't worry about it. Okay. It may not ever come in the way they think, but it will. It'll come around and you'll live to tell the story. So, you know, just take your hearts and understand that. Try to get the best out of the situation. If you can, find it in your heart to forgive. And if not, I'll be chanting for you to be able to do so. See you next week. We'll have a guest. I love you. And don't forget to smile. It works wonders. Bye. Bye.
You're listening to The Osiris Mounir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.